Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for your kindness and for your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for the promises that you make, Lord, and we know that you're faithful. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I've been working on an experiment for a while, and I've actually grown 3 or 4 inches, so I told them they could take the steps down now. So you can see. Thank you. Thank you. So now I'm like almost 5'9". It's great. We're beginning a sermon series, and it kind of started as a sermon series kind of going through the book of Exodus. And then we kind of thought, you know, how do you really begin in the book of Exodus and not cover the call of God that was on Abram's life? Because here's the thing. We talk a lot in church about promises. We talk about God's promises. My kids, you know, and we're at night and we're praying and we're talking. I said, you know, God's going to keep all the promises he's made. And they're like, what promises? What promises? And so I think sometimes we talk about, hey, God's made promises, but we don't really talk about the extent of what those promises are really about. So I want you to look with me in Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to go to this place and meet this guy. At this point in his life, his name is Abram. And as far as we know, Abram was not a worshiper of Yahweh. I mean, he's just this guy. Let me tell you, he's just a guy like you and me. He really is. Now, I want you to hear that. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I want to just start right there. A couple of things. Remember some of the things that you left? How many of you had to leave some things to follow Jesus? Raise your hand. Good. How many of you are still trying to leave some things? My hand is up. I'm still trying to leave some things. You know, the first thing he says to him, I mean, the first word is leave. Leave your country, leave your people, and your father's household. We got to leave some things. Now, the main emphasis tonight is going to be on the promise that God makes. But we got to stop. We've got to look at this part. Leave. There are still some things that I'm trying to leave. Let me just throw some out. How many of you are trying to leave anger? That's good. That's fine if you want to raise your hand. That's fine. We already know who you are anyway. How many of you are trying to leave bitterness? How many of you are trying to leave unforgiveness? That's a big one, unforgiveness. And then some of us are trying just to leave some of those physical things that we're trying to stop doing, those kind of things. And here's the thing. I want you to know, first of all, the promise that God made Abram is not a conditional promise. Does everybody understand a conditional promise? You know, I tell my son, hey, listen, if you get, you know, my car cleaned out, you know, then I'm going to let you stay up a little later tonight. So when night rolls around, you know, whether or not he gets to stay up is dependent upon whether or not he did what I asked him. This promise that God is making Abram is not a conditional promise. Now, I'm not, you already know, this goes without saying, I'm not super intelligent, but I did read just a little bit about some of the grammar that's used here. And the phraseology has intentionality, meaning that the promise God is getting ready to make, we'll read in just a second, is not conditional upon Abram leaving. Now, why is that? Well, one is, and this is the simplest answer that I can give you, but I think it works. God knows that Abram's going to go. He's going to leave. God knows that. You know, so God's not like, you know, God's not up there. It's like, I don't know if he's going to leave or not, so I'll make him a sweet promise. You know, so it's not like that. God already knows what he's going to do. Now, this is important for all of us here. This is very important. God knows what God is going to do. God knows what we are going to do. How many of you are still not quite sure what you're going to do? God already knows. God already knows what you're going to do. So he says, leave your country. Leave all these familiar things. I would say in your country, there's some kind of comfort. Has anybody been out of the country? I remember going to Kazakhstan, and I remember I couldn't wait. We got out of the airport, and I refused to use the restroom on the plane.
And that's all I'll say about that. And so I can't wait till we get to the missionary's place because I gotta go. And if my kids were here, they'd understand it's not the simple go, it's the difficult go. This is probably way too much information. Anyway, but you gotta know, you have to know that for this to make any sense. So we get to the missionary's house, I'm like, hey, dude, they gotta go. He goes, oh yeah, right out there. And right out there, in the middle of the yard, is a hole. I mean, there's not a tree. There's no cover. You just go. All people around here don't mind. I was like, I don't care about the people around here. I mind. I need the roll right on the side, you know, and I need a magazine, you know. You're leaving comfort. If you've traveled out of the country, then you understand that. You're leaving comfort. You're leaving those things. He gets even more personal. Leave your people. I know some of you just laughed. How do you get more personal than that? I'm talking God gets more personal here. He says, I saw you. You're thinking, no, how could it be more personal than that? Okay. Leave your people, the people you know. I mean, sure, there's some people I'd like to leave, right? But for most of them, I don't. He says, I want you to leave. Leave all those places. Leave all those things. And leave your father's household. And then he says the most disturbing part to me. This is the part that it makes me cringe. He says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. Because I'm like, oh, wait, time out, God. Time out. If you'll tell me where we're going, I might know a better way. Any of you ever been that way? God says, just follow me to a land I will show you. I mean, I got a TomTom on my car, right? Everybody know what a TomTom is? I got it for Christmas as this GPS thing, and I don't know what's wrong with it, because so far I only use it to get to places where I know they are, just to see if TomTom knows. Which I think is a weird name for a chick, you know, because she's like, make a left turn here. Now, what I do like about it is she's nicer than my wife. When I miss the turn, she says, please make a U-turn as soon as possible. No idiot, no yelling. It's nice, you know, if I make the wrong turn, my wife starts talking, I'm like, ah! She'll tell me, please make a U-turn as soon as possible. So there we go. So I'm trying to get to church today, and I type in the church's address on TomTom, and I don't know if there's another 3219 Nashville Road, but I don't know where she was taking me. I think she was trying to kidnap me. I really do. I'm in my car. TomTom's got me, you know. I want you to go to a land I will show you. Just follow me. So here's the deal. If this is truly God's intent, and I believe that it is, that means this. I cannot be all hyped up about the destination because the real deal is the journey. It's the journey. Sure, where God is taking me is significant. Where God is taking you is significant. But it's about the journey, not the destination. He says, I want you to leave all of these things and follow me to a land that I will show you. I've told you this before on Wednesday, but it just fits here, and so I'm going to do it again. Because, I mean, you all know, most of you have had some math. And you know, you got point A and point B. And we're going to find the shortest route, wherever you're from point A to point B. And that's how I always think. What would be the quickest way to get there? There's like so many ways for me to get from my house to the church, and all of them take 10 minutes, no matter what. It takes 10 minutes, no matter which way that I go. But I'm convinced that somehow, somewhere, there's a way that I just don't know about yet. Maybe that's what TomTom was doing, getting me here in 8 minutes. That's probably the deal. But with God and following God, it's not like that. I mean, you know that one of the intentions that God has for you is to make you more like Jesus, to make all of us more like Jesus. But I want to encourage you, because there's going to be some things we're going to have to go through to be more like Jesus. And God loves you so much that He's willing to take you through those things and through those places
to make you more like Jesus. So point A and point B, he's not working with God. It's like when my wife was pregnant with our third kid, we're on our way to the hospital and she was just finishing her master's. She wrote out her last paper. David Tooley, you can relate to this. Not because you were pregnant, but because your wife was. And I'm getting ready to make a left turn to go to the hospital. My wife's in the passenger seat and she's all hunched over and she goes, "Turn right." And I'm thinking she must know a shorter way. So I turn right and I said, "Where are we going?" She goes, "The post office. I got to get this in the mail." And so that's what we did. With God, when you're following God, I think the reason we don't always know the destination is because of our temptation to just want to get there as quickly as we can. To bypass some things that we need to go through just to get there. And so God says, follow me to a land I will show you. And so maybe God wants me over there, but I can't handle what's over there until I've been over here. And I come to this place and God gives me something. God shows me something. God reveals himself, you know, through a situation or an experience that prepares me for what's going to be over here. Now, here's what you and I know. Most of you, you're in the journey. So when you get to this place, it's awesome, right? It's like, wow, this is incredible. I wouldn't have missed this for anything, including that thing, including what was over there. I wouldn't have missed that for what I had to go through. This is what he's telling Abram. And we're going to follow Abraham for a little while. And we're going to go 400 some years to where the Israelites are let go out of captivity. And we're going to see this, church, that God took them through some things. They went through some difficult times. They went through some dark places. And my prayer for you tonight is that you would see that this is the hand of God. And if you're in just such a place, know this, it is for God's good and God's purpose. His hand is on you and he is preparing you for a place that you don't want to miss, but you don't know it yet. That's what God is doing. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. And then here's the promise of God. The promise that we will hear uttered throughout Scripture to the end of the Bible. Here it is. God says to Abram, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now let's break this promise down. He says, I will make you into a great nation. Now right there, I just stop because stars come into my eyes. I want God to make me into a great nation, right? Now, Pastor Steve says, I've tried to become a great nation, you know, with four kids, but that's beside the point. But when God is saying this, I want you to think about this. Abram's about 75 years old. And God says, I will make you into a great nation. He doesn't have a child. He and Sarah have been together all those years and they've never had a child. And God says, I will make you into a great nation. Now, here's what I want you to know tonight. Maybe you've never heard this before. Maybe you have, but it is truth. I want you to hear it. You and I are offsprings of Abraham. I want you to know that. Because when God says, I will make you into a great nation, it's not like he just had a ton of kids and God said, I'll give you some land, we'll call you a country, and there you go. This wasn't God's intention. He says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will bless you. Now, here's what I want to say about that. That I will bless you. I get into a lot of, not arguments, but I get into a lot of conversations, fun conversations with folks who want to talk about what does this blessing mean? Because when we look at Abraham, we see that he had been blessed in every way. He had a lot of stuff. How many of you like stuff? I like stuff. He had a lot of property, right? He had anything. I mean, by all standards, he was wealthy and would be wealthy today. This is Abram. And God says, I will bless you. But here's what I want you to understand about God. I want you to understand how temporary this life is. It is temporary. Right now, in the season of life that I'm in, it is more temporary than I have ever experienced in my life. 2.5 months ago, Chris Mitz walked into this church and went to work. And she's not with us now. 3 weeks ago, my very healthy 48-year-old brother-in-law passes out. We go to the hospital. We're all joking and he drinks too much caffeine. And the doctor comes in and says, "You've got a brain tumor." We don't know how that's going to unfold. But more than ever in this season of life, I'm realizing how temporary this life is. So when God says, "I will bless you," please do not misunderstand that by blessing, God means I would just want you to have a great 75 or 80 or 85 years here on the earth. If that's all God had to offer, then I dare say He has very little to offer. That's not what God means. He says, "I will bless you." And this blessing that's being spoken of has salvific ramifications, that God makes this promise. And He makes the promise to Abraham, and we'll see the fulfillment of this promise come at the cross. On a hill called Calvary, we see that God has absolutely done what He said He's going to do, and it's the only hope that any of us have. And if you're a follower of Jesus, listen to me, you have been blessed. Because now this life that's temporary, for us, it's just the beginning of the life that's to come. I will bless you. He says, "I will make your name great." Now you got to understand that in this culture, as God is speaking to this, Abraham's not thinking he's going to have his own reality show on MTV, right? Like he's going to be the oldest bachelor, right? And somebody's going to come and can give him a kid. You know, Abraham doesn't hear it like that. "I will make your name great." And here's the deal. We already know that God did this, don't we? How do we know that? Anybody know the guy that lived next to Abraham? Anybody know his name? That's my point. That's my point. God did make his name great, but his name was great because his name was associated with Yahweh. His name was associated with God. And when people talked about Abraham, they talked about that he was blameless, that he was a righteous man. And it's in that context that his name would be great. What about your name? What about your name? I've told you before, you know, I've never liked my name a lot. Jamie. I mean, it was great when I was 6, you know. But when you're 36, you know, and you're a guy and your name's Jamie, you know, I remember when my uncles used to make fun of me because when I was growing up, The Bionic Woman was a real popular TV series and her name was Jamie Summers. They'd be like, "Jamie Summers," and I'd be like, "Just shut up. I hate you." All right. And there was a guy in my church who I just thought, that is the name to have. There was a guy in my church I grew up in, his name was Manford. I'm telling you, I don't care how big that guy is, you don't mess with a guy named Manford. Because you know he's got a bunch of whoop in him, don't you? Manford. God says, "I will make your name great." It's not about Abraham's name. Listen, this is maybe the most important thing I'll say tonight. God's promise was all about God. God's promise wasn't about what Abraham would do. God's promise was about what God would do. And because Abraham followed God on that crazy, crooked journey, because Abraham followed God, we now know who Abraham is, and indeed God made his name great. But his name was great in a way that honored God. What would people say about you? I mean, if I just showed up at your workplace tomorrow, you know, and said, "Tell me about Helen Trulock." Now, I've already done that, so I know what they said about you. I'm glad you're close to the altar tonight. What would they say about you? What would they say about you? My 20th high school reunion is coming up. And for a joke, when I was a senior in high school, we all voted for this guy who couldn't stand school and couldn't stand any of us. So we've never had a reunion because it's his job to get it together. So I guess the jokes was on us. But I just thought, what would people say? I mean, if I showed up at the reunion, you know, and I'm like, hey, I'm a pastor, you know, what would people say about that? What would they say? I will make your name great. Know this tonight. Abraham's name was great because he followed a great God. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Now, that's cool. That's kind of cool, isn't it? I will bless those who bless you. That's neat. But I love the next part. And whoever curses you, I will curse. Now, I love that part. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm still waiting, right? I mean, don't you want to call up those folks every once in a while? Just want you to know the curse is on its way, baby. Hang up. So, something God showed me in this, and I know God showed it to me for a reason, and it wasn't to share it with you. God showed it to me for me. And here's what God showed me. He says, notice, God says this, I will bless those who bless you. And that's cool. I feel like it takes a little burden off of me, right? But then God says, and I will curse whoever curses you. God says, I will do that. How many of you have been real busy trying to curse? Been taking some time, right? God, I've got a little cursing to do. It's in the Bible, you know, and so I've got to do that. But God says, I will do that. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing wicked people prosper. I'm tired of seeing the evil people just seems like it's all working out for them. Doesn't it? Is it just me? It's just me, isn't it? No, it's all of us. I mean, I'm tired of seeing it. I'm looking on the news. Is there an honest person in Washington, D.C.? I mean, I've been trying to pay my taxes. Apparently, when you're a politician, you don't have to, right? And I'm just like, God, so why are you raising all these people up? God, raise me up a little bit. God, let me go a little higher so they can see, you know. God says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And you know what we see in Abram? He believes God for this, and he follows God. And we know the folks who showed up in Abraham's journey and were a blessing to him, God blessed them. And the people who got in his way, God took care of them. I want to say this to you. I don't want this to be the most significant part of our evening. And yet, I feel like it's something a lot of us struggle with. This is part of the promise that God has made, that He will do this. That He will do this. And if I'm going to trust God to do this, it means I don't walk around with my clipboard seeing who's been cursed and who's been blessed. God said, hey, you know what? You should be so busy following me, you don't have time to keep up with that. So trust me. I'll deliver the blessing. I'll deliver the curse. This is about trusting, because this promise is about God. Finally, he says this, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It's my favorite part of the promise. It's my favorite part, that all the peoples on the earth will be blessed. Now listen, it didn't say that every person on the earth would be blessed. It doesn't say that. It says all the peoples. And it reminds me in Revelation, it talks about that in every tribe, tongue, and nation, they will worship Him. Salvation will go to the ends of the world. And there will be somebody representing every people group in the world who will bow down to Jesus Christ. This is God's promise. And now this is a strange promise for the time. And Abraham probably doesn't realize the ramifications of it. Because here's the deal. In the Old Testament, there was an elite group that followed Yahweh. And God chose them out of all the nations. And they would be carrying the torch of salvation through their line, through their genealogy, until we get to Jesus Christ. And then Jesus comes.
And God told Abraham thousands and thousands of years before Jesus would ever be here that all the peoples on the earth would be blessed. I get excited about that. It's one of the passions of my heart is thinking about the gospel going to the ends of the earth. And I feel privileged to be part of a church that takes seriously the call to take the gospel everywhere we go. We see a lot of people get saved at our church, and I tell folks all the time, you know, it's not the preaching. I know a lot of you think that because it's so good. But you know what it is? Every person that comes to that altar and prays to receive Christ, rarely does somebody say, I just popped in by myself, the Lord touched me, and I came to the altar and got saved. And that happens every once in a great while. Most of the time when they come, I'll say, you know, have you prayed to receive Jesus? Say, yeah, I did it last week at work with this guy right here. Or, yeah, I work with this lady, and she's been sharing this with me, and the Lord just touched me. That's how it happens, because we carry the good news with us. We carry the gospel with us. And it's the closing part of the promise, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We're going to look at this promise throughout the book of Exodus. And we're going to look at how that promise unfolds and how God has to do this really neat thing. Constantly remind them of the promise that He's made. And that promise is not conditional. It is going to come to fruition. God is going to do this. I'll read just the first part of the next verse. So Abram left as the Lord had told him. Abram left as the Lord had told him. He trusted God. He trusted the promise that God made. But here's the deal. He wasn't trusting ultimately in the promise. You're never trusting in the promise. You're trusting in the person that makes the promise. And so it is with God. When God makes His promise, I can't tell you my trust is in the promise. My trust is in God that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. We're going to have a time of altar. And I want to encourage you. I hope you've been reminded tonight of the promise that God has made. The promise that He is going to be a blessing. I mean, we see, you know what the great result of the promise is in Abraham's life? You know what we see as a result? Because of God's promise, Abraham is a blessing to others. I can't think of a more dire time to be a blessing to other people. Whatever that might mean. Taking time to talk to somebody. Taking time to tell somebody you care. You want to blow people away at work? Offer to pray with somebody. I mean, yeah, there's smiles on people's faces. You know, that'd be kind of a crazy, weird thing. You know, to say, hey, can I pray with you? Or to show genuine concern and kindness. I tell people all the time, if you're going to conduct yourself that way at work, you're going to find out real quick, most people at work aren't going to want to hang out with you. Now, I feel like I need to tell you that to prepare you for that. In no way is that making your name great thing tied, you know, that people are going to think it's a great thing. But here's what will happen, and I promise you this. If you're faithful and you will live your life that way, most of them aren't going to want a whole lot to do with you and hang out with you and run around with you. But here's a promise I make. As soon as they face a tough time in their life, you'll be the person they'll come to. My dad used to always come home and tell us stories because my dad would always say, hey, I'm praying for so-and-so that I work with. And I noticed that it seemed like other people that had worked where he worked had all kinds of gatherings and get-togethers, and we never participated in those things. And the only time I really ever got to meet anybody Dad worked with is when they were going through a hard time. Because Dad would invite them to come to the house. And they'd come to the house, and my mom and dad would pray for them, pray with them. This promise tells us that the gospel will go to the ends of the earth.
And of all the people bowing the knee to Jesus, there'll be representatives from every tongue, tribe, and nation. God will be faithful to that promise. And He calls us to follow Him. But listen to me. I mean, really follow Him. I mean, if what you can say about your spiritual life right now is you go to church on Wednesday night or Wednesdays and Sundays, you're missing the greatest, deepest things that God has for you. You're missing them. And I want to encourage you tonight to say, don't miss those things. Because some of you right now are standing in this place, and God's wanting you to go to that place, but that is a hard place. That is an ugly place. That is a dark place. And you're not sure you want to go there. Can I tell you why you're not sure you want to go there? You're not sure you want to go there because you can't see the next place God wants to take you. But He won't take you there until you've been here. And He's saying, follow Me. Follow Me. Some of you are in this place and it's a hard place. It's all those things that I've said it was. Maybe it's worse than what I've said it was. But God knows you're there. God knows what's going on, and His hand is working in your life. How do I know that? Because He promised. He promised. So you can trust Him. You can trust Him. And so tonight, that call from God to you and to me, that call is to really follow Me. To really follow Me. I want you to bow your head. For some of you here tonight, you've never answered the first call that was on your life. I can tell you, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive your sin. And some of you are struggling tonight to believe that He can really do that. If that's you tonight, and I was able to talk to you one-on-one, I would just encourage you tonight that God is faithful, that God is just. And your sin does separate you from God, but He is willing to forgive that sin. He's got a plan for your life. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of altar, and there's going to be folks just come to pray. So there'll be other folks coming, and I'd invite you to come along with them, and me or Pastor David or Pastor Jeff, we'll be down here. And we'd love to talk to you more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. For some of you, He said, come follow Me, and you're yet to be baptized. And that's part of following Him. That's part of being obedient to what He's asking you to do. And we'd love to talk to you about that. But I'm asking you to come. If you're in that place, or you know you got to go to that place, I'd invite you to come to the altar tonight and just to pray. So Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your promises. We thank You for who You are. Lord, I thank You that no matter how difficult that place is, I know that You're there with me. And I know You're going to use that moment in my life to mold me, to shape me, and to make me more like Jesus. So, Lord, I pray tonight that You would have Your way. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.